This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, feeling good here. 3 o'clock standing tall, Seat Williams. Marcus Laverne, he's got the wheels of steel plenty to get to today. Good to be back. Thanks to our good friend Brian Feldman for kicking in the last 2 days. We're going to change things around. We got George Cole coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's going to talk to you about the games coming up. Plenty to talk about in that respect. We got the Rebel football team playing tonight. 2 other college football games. 20 college hoop games. NBA, G-Nights. Wow, we're loaded. Also, giveaway. Rebel basketball game. 2nd game of the season against Prairie View on Wednesday night at the MAC. Give that away in the final go-round. So Dope will follow this segment at about 12 to 15 after. Happy Veterans Day weekend out there to all of you out there, huh? Yes, Veterans Day. Let me drop this note on you here real quickly, though. Veterans Day is an official United States public holiday observed annually on November 11th that honors military veterans, that is, persons who have served in the United States Armed Forces. It coincides with other holidays, including Armistice Day and Remembrance Day, celebrated in other countries that mark the anniversary of the end of World War I. Major hostilities of World War I were formally ended. Get this, I didn't know this. Ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, when the Armistice with Germany went into effect. The United States previously observed Armistice Day. The United States holiday was renamed Veterans Day in 1954. Veterans is not to be confused with Memorial Day, which is a U.S. public holiday in May. Veterans Day celebrates the service of U.S. military veterans, while Memorial Day honors those who died while in the military service. It is also not to be confused with Armed Forces Day, a minor U.S. remembrance that also occurs in May, which specifically, boy, that word just twists my tongue every time I try to say it, honors those currently serving in the U.S. military. So happy Veterans Day. If you have a family member, an acquaintance, a friend, or someone you see dressed in military uniform and they pass by, tip your cap to them. Give them a nod. Let them know, hey, we appreciate you. It makes them feel good, and they should feel good about it. We don't want to go back to what we did back in the 70s and 80s with our troops that came back from Vietnam, which they were victims from us and also that particular war. Anyway, happy Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day weekend. And remember what it represents. All right, let's get busy. Richard Sherman, Achilles tear, awful. Gone for the season. One guy that I respect. I like his style. I like the fact that he is outspoken, and I like his game. A guy who they say lost a step but still knew in losing a step how to still cover his man and did a good job. Michael Bennett, by the way, stood for the national anthem. And I said before, if I were a player, if I were fortunate enough to be in the NFL, I would kneel. But on this weekend, I would not because of the confusion of what's going on with the cause and the movement, as opposed to what people are making it into, which is disrespecting the flag and the military, which it isn't. But we'll see how many players do kneel or will not come out for the national anthem. It was 18 last week in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, on that topic, denial by the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. So he'll get the 6-game suspension. Here's the way it works, though. He'll miss this Sunday's game against the Falcons. Eagles, Chargers on Thanksgiving Day. Then he'll have another court date. So we'll see what happens in that court date. Jerry Jones, of course, has threatened to sue the NFL and Roger Goodell. Remember what happened with Robert Kraft and Tom Brady. Now, if Roger Goodell could get Tom Brady, he's going to get Ezekiel Elliott. Jerry Jones is a guy that sometimes needs to just let it go. Okay? I will say this about that. When it comes to Ezekiel Elliott, I like watching him play, but he's not one of my favorite guys. I just think he has issues upstairs, especially when he puts some alcohol or whatever it is in his body. We saw that during the St. Paddy's Day parade. When the two girls were next to him, they were strangers. He took one girl's blouse and pulled it down. Who does that? Okay? That tells you right there who he is, a little bit about him. Knocked out a dude in the nightclub for whatever happened. Speeding 105 miles an hour. Okay, maybe he was testing out the new engine. But I will add this. I don't think it's appropriate while he's in the NFL to punish him for something he did back when he was in college as a teenager at Ohio State. Okay, I believe that happened with the girl, the domestic violence. That should be handled away from the NFL, in my opinion. What does that connection have to do with the NFL? He didn't do it during his playing days as a professional athlete. It happened allegedly when he was a college student and football player. I believe it happened. She had details. She saved everything. Okay, so a civil court should decide that. The NFL shouldn't be punishing him for that. Even though I don't like him as a person, I'm fair in my believing of what should and shouldn't happen. They shouldn't be able to grab him for what took place in college. Now, some people may disagree with that, but he didn't do it while he was under your tenure and playing in your level. At your level, he did it in college, allegedly. So that's just my spill on that. What's your take?
Was it sexual abuse or was it?
It was domestic violence.
It was domestic violence.
It was his girlfriend.
You know,
And it happened in college, which to me, I just don't think it should follow you to the next level.
Right.
I don't think it does in any other sport.
Right.
And it shouldn't happen in this sport. You're trying to protect the shield, but the shield wasn't there when he did this. Okay? Get him away from this because he didn't do it here.
Right. I think that's the issue is that the litigation ties into the career so heavily. And it's almost like, and I feel like this about the Ray Rice situation, the Greg Hardy situations. It's difficult to separate once these players get into the NFL, which is such a political organization, regardless of what people say about it. I mean, this is their career. It's supposed to be entertainment, supposed to be a sport. But you can't, it's so hard to separate what they do in their personal lives because they essentially become celebrities and these celebrities become role models. And then the NFL is like, what about our image? And so I agree with what you're saying. I just don't know how you go about doing it.
I think it's basic. It's simple. It didn't happen when he was here. If it happened while you're here, it happened before he got to the NFL. So if it's going to follow him to the NFL, fine, but make it. Why should the NFL punish him for something he didn't do?
And I guess my question is, like, why isn't it like being handled in court? I guess this is like only going to be litigation on behalf of the NFL. He serves the suspension, but then what? There's no fines, no court or no jail time, no service outside of the prison system. I don't really understand how it becomes so convoluted because if this is a domestic violence situation, it shouldn't even involve football. You know what I mean?
Unless you're employed by them when it happens.
Right.
That's my point. It happened when he was in college.
Right.
Allegedly. So.
Well, she came forward with this when he was drafted.
Yes.
Right. So what I mean is, why isn't there separate litigation being handled on this matter?
I get you.
You know what I mean?
It should have been. I don't know. I just don't know how you can let it travel from when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
As a collegiate player to a professional where, look, if it's going to happen, sure, there should be something going on, but it should be, the league shouldn't be suspending him for that. If you want to suspend him for the other things, the character issues, I get it. But he shouldn't be getting 6 games for what happened when he was at Ohio State. That's just my opinion on that.
You're right.
I'm not a big fan of him as a person. I like watching him play, though. And on to this dude. And Michael Felger, he could be heard on 98.5, the Sports Hub, airwaves Friday afternoon, but you won't be seeing him on NBC Boston until next week. The network today announced they have suspended him, his comments about Rory Halladay and the plane crash. Now, most of you know what he said, which was really vulgar. We couldn't get the sound in here, unfortunately, on a Halladay. It's already in the... We have it in the bank, but we can't get it because some of the other guys aren't here that had it earlier. I heard it on Cofield's show. But that's it? He's going to be on next week? So over the weekend he's out? What kind of punishment is that? He apologized. He said what he had to say, and it was pretty disrespectful to Rory Holiday. And I don't know. I just, the apology doesn't, I mean, why apologize when you said it because you meant it? The other thing is the punishment, to me, if you're going to punish him for something, make it real. I don't know. Sometimes apologies, they make it worse. I mean, I don't know in this case, that being the fact, but this dude right here, man, just when somebody dies, just say RIP if you didn't like the way they went down and move on. That's it. You don't have to be mean about it, which I thought this guy pretty much was. Man. All right. Big games coming up this weekend. And I got to tell you something. I finally put a little action down this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday I spent an hour and a half over at the Palace Station. And there's some really good football games coming up. Remember, we got the G-Knights playing tonight as well. But college football, you got just a slew of games. The Rebel game is important tonight. Then you have number one, number two, and TCU playing Oklahoma. I think Bama gets either Mississippi or Mississippi State. All these teams are going to be tested. So we're going to find out in the end when the committee comes back this coming Tuesday. It's going to be entirely a different situation. They're going to be dealing with who's in, who's not in anymore. And there might be a few teams in there that aren't anymore. Your thoughts about the teams that they have in there right now. TCU, I think, if they beat Oklahoma or vice versa, one of those two teams will jump. I think Penn State, Ohio State, in my opinion, they have to be done unless Wisconsin runs the table and they win their championship game in the Big Ten. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't be in, but the committee doesn't see them as being sexy. So we'll see what happens.
That's
there.
A problem for me because Ohio State and Penn State, they both have two losses now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama, Georgia, mm-hmm. still undefeated. Wisconsin, still undefeated.
Miami,
undefeated. Notre Dame has one loss. I think they're just the cosmetics of the championship series, of the playoff series, is colliding with the actual stats and the actual records for the season. And to me, that's a huge issue. And how do you even decide that? How do you decide what game looks sexy in the playoffs or not? I mean, are they actually going in and deducing who's watching what, when they're watching it, the fan bases? Is that what they're looking at? Because there are teams that deserve to be in this conversation much deeper than they are. I mean, we're speculating about a 9-0 Miami team right now. And Miami and Notre Dame face each other this weekend. So obviously one of those teams is going to have to suffer a loss. If Notre Dame suffers this loss to Miami, then Notre Dame probably needs to be out of it. But if Miami wins and goes 10-0, they need to be at the top of this conversation. They need to be hanging with Bama and hanging with Georgia. I just think it's still very vague how the committee goes about making this decision. I really do.
Well, they don't allow us in the room. It'd be great if they exactly. would, right? How much better would it be if we, in fact, could hear what's going on in those meetings? But they come out of the meetings, have answers to all the questions coming at them. And I know none of it's scripted, but, you know, you get that after effect. Some of it not justifiable. Still, what they did the first year to TCU was the absolute worst.
Yeah.
You know, you move on from it, but that right there was the most egregious thing you could do for a kid coming around Christmas. They're ranked number three, and then you drop them out, and they don't get in, which you move on. You know, TCU, now you have a chance to make for the better. So you look across the board, and you see Notre Dame, Clemson. Clemson is a team, I don't know. I just can't get over that Syracuse loss.
No doubt.
They're number four.
If you want to talk about Wisconsin's conference being easy, and then you don't want to talk about Clemson losing to a team that's not even ranked. I mean, how do you even make that decision? It's a challenge to me. I'm not sure. I liked when they introduced the playoffs, but they didn't go about it in a way that I'm comfortable with yet. I just don't think there's enough transparency in the process. I'd like to know stats. I'd like to know the procedures. I think everybody would. Because there are teams that deserve to be in that picture that aren't being put in, and there are teams that don't deserve to be talked about this much that are at the front lines.
You think about Wisconsin. Here's the good and the bad. Wisconsin, not sexy, but they travel well. They have a great fan base that will travel anywhere in the country to follow their Badgers. So if they do run the table and they win the Big Ten title, do you put them in the top four? I mean, you're looking at all these teams in front of them. Miami, Notre Dame, one of those two teams are going to be out, okay? TCU, Oklahoma, one of those two teams are going to be out. Next in line is Wisconsin. Bama, Georgia, I think they could, if they run the table, they both have the hands full this weekend, but if they do run the table, and doesn't matter who loses in that championship game in the SEC, I think they both are still going to be in. Notre Dame, can they win their game this weekend? Otherwise, see, there's room for Wisconsin to move up. Washington right behind them, room for them to move up. Auburn, if they can pull the upset this weekend, they can move up. Too bad Michigan State lost to Northwestern earlier this year. They would be in the mix. USC number 11, I'm not feeling them.
No doubt.
Because they could have a good day, and then they could really get the hell beat out of them. So yeah. I'm not in with that. All right, folks, it's about 15 after. Lighters up. Time for dope.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's blow.
Man, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:16 in the valley. Lighters up, pass it. We got some really crazy people on this earth. One of them hanging around in Las Vegas by the name of O.J. Simpson. Okay? The juice on the loose. Now, O.J. Simpson, they snuck him out. Okay, remember he got out the night before 1 October, they kind of swindled him out. Nobody saw him leave, really. And I've been hearing stories about him showing up at different casinos and doing his thing. People saying they saw him drinking. I'm like, nah, OJ can't drink. You saw in his hearing, they told him, the parole board, you can't drink. If you're caught drinking, you are going back in the slammer. Well, I'm OJ. So OJ Simpson is seen at the Cosmo, basically drinking, drunk, disorderly, to the point where security has to usher him out. They 86'd him permanently. He can never go back into Cosmo. So if that doesn't take the antlers up on the parole board, then OJ could do whatever he wants to do. He could leave Nevada and they don't care. I'm telling you something, he needs to realize you're not the guy who won the Heisman at Southern Cal anymore. You're not the guy that ran for over 2,000 yards when you were a Buffalo Bill and you were great, MVP. And he was awesome as a football player. The movies, he was funny. The commercials, endorsements, he was awesome. Hey, the double homicide trial. You were famous, infamous. But now you're just a felon who has his freedom and you have barriers you can't cross, and you've crossed them. I have to say it. To me, O.J. Simpson, straight up dope.
No doubt about it. You'd think you would be doing your absolute best at this point in time to stay out of the negative spotlight, man. Like, your whole adult life, for the most part, has been draped in controversy. And now you get some time where nobody's after you. You can actually relax and live out the rest of your life in peace, but you're acting a damn fool. And you know what I say is, if it happens, when it happens, and I hope it happens, when doctors get their hand on OJ's brain and take a look, we'll have so much more insight into what the impact of his football career had actually been. And Aaron Hernandez is the perfect example. He died at 27, right? 27, 29? Between those years in prison, and you know, committed suicide, of course, was involved in the murder trials. And look at his brain. I mean, Doctors said it was the worst case of CTE they had ever seen in somebody his age. And you can't convince me that there's not a correlation between those crimes, his antics, his behavior, and that disease. I mean, and his football career. And so when we get to take a look inside of OJ, we're going to see what's really up. But definitely, you got to stay out of that spotlight, man.
I will say this, though, about Hernandez. He was a gangbanger.
Oh, dude. No doubt.
He was a straight-up bad person.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I don't want to try to justify. There's no justifying what he's done. But look at his brain, and there's got to be some kind of correlation there. I think the research is definitely worth it. Mike Tyson, my man getting turned away from Chile. Can't go into the country because he has a rap sheet. And Mike Tyson, not a dope by any means, after, you know, really cleaning his life up. But I feel bad for the guy. He just wanted to go and fly into Chile. But because he has a rap sheet held by the FBI, not able to get into the country and gets turned away, has to come all the way home. That's sad, man. And it's not that it's not even a dope story. It's just that it's very interesting that this has tracked him all the way into his golden years. I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for people that try to clean up their lives and still have to feel the impact of what they did in the past. But that stuff follows you. So, you know, Mike Tyson, dope for getting his act right. It sucks that he couldn't get into Chile. More breaking on that case, which is very, very, very interesting. Mike Tyson in general is pretty dope, though.
Yeah, the thing is, you gotta basically search it over and see what's going on. Can I get in this country because I'm a felon? And you should know before you get there. I'm not blaming anyone, but you gotta research this stuff. All right, you gotta check this out. Over in China, basketball blooms. We got a couple of stars, or former stars, one in the NBA and one who played kind of as a journeyman in the NBA, was a star at BYU, Jimmer Fredette and Stephon Marbury. They're playing a ball game, and guess what? Jimmer Fredette goes through the hole. Marbury blocks the shot, fouls him, no whistle. And check out the announcers in Chinese. A fight breaks out.
Slow, but it's coming up.
Now, I'll describe it. Jimmer Fredette drives through the hole. Marbury blocked the shot, caught him on the arm, caught him on the head. No foul. And so Jimmer pushes Marbury. And Marbury jumps chest to chest.
He's
standing there, like going at it, and teams have to separate the police on the court. Like that. Okay? Jimmer Fredette, by the way, now is the man. He's 28. Stephon Marbury is 40. Who you get?
I mean, let's bring up Mayweather and McGregor. I mean, I'm gonna take the dude with more experience in being a badass, and I'm probably gonna take Jimmer on this one.
Jimmer,
not Jimmer. Marbury.
Okay. So Marbury's 40. I'll take Marbury because he's probably got a lot of just stuff down inside of him, rage.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. It builds up over time.
Yeah, he's got a statue over there already of him. He's 40. He's averaging 15, 6, and 7. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. In 2013, he won a championship. They built a statue for him. Jimmer at 28 leads the league now in scoring, 41 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. MVP last year, won the title. He's the reigning champ. He's got the title. But in a fight, I'm going to say Marbury wins it because of the rage that's in there, you know. And no, you don't, kid. The older dude, more experienced, is probably going to win that fight. But fortunately, it didn't come to scraps.
Yes, exactly.
In the end, though, it was pretty dope to see these two guys, Americans over in China, throwing down just about on the court.
Man, I wish I knew some Chinese. I bet that was some funny commentating right there.
See?
You know what? I wanted to bring up a different story, but my alma mater, dope last night. Arborview High School going at it in the second week of the 4A playoffs against Legacy. This is Battle of the Bulls round 2. And I like talking about Arborview because they've always been some bad boys. I remember when I got to had the pleasure of playing varsity football over there and running out of that double wing and really just ground and pounding every night that we had a game. But dude, first of all, they come out, they have their little pregame ceremonies, red smoke on one side, blue smoke on the other side. The refs don't like it, and you could tell from there's going to be some drama later into the game when Arborview starts to run away with it, and that game ended 48-21. Legacy starts throwing some shots. They're getting bad calls from the refs, according to news around the area. They have to, at some point in the fourth quarter, go to their individual corners, and the ref has a coming to God talk with both of the teams. At the end of the game, they don't shake hands. Legacy heads straight to the bus. And Arborview has to stay on the field for a while police make sure that everybody's on the bus and nobody's in the parking lot. And man, oh man, is that dope to me. Man, oh man, is that dope to me. I loved Arborview football because the double wing is a hard-hitting, no joke, run it down their throat offense. I love Legacy football because of the students that I know go to that school. I love their coaching staff. I love the badassery in general. But my Aggies, dope for taking that up.
Homer. All right, light us down. Hey, listen, I got to get this in before I forget. I mentioned on Wednesday or Tuesday, my last day in here, I have a solution, a quick remedy fix for the kneeling during the national anthem, the protest, the movement. Here's how you end it, okay? It's very simple to me. They have the meeting coming up between the owners and the players, and I believe the commissioner will likely be there, Roger Goodell. You have 32 cities that have professional teams, okay? You have a rep that comes in, and you get together with the owner and the commissioner with the player, and you decide you are going to make a donation in all 32 of those cities, a major donation, financial donation. You get together with the police in those communities and leaders in those communities. You put the fund in. You put the money in those 32 cities, and I guarantee you at that point the players will not kneel anymore. At least there would be an attempt to help the injustice and the battering of black males by police in those communities. And if you show that you're trying to give an effort, the players won't kneel anymore. They want something to happen, okay? And they're trying to make something happen by the protest. A lot of people don't like the protest because it is during the national anthem. That's how you end it. You got 32 cities. You got tons of money. We're talking about billionaires. Take some money and put it in each community. Get together with the police and the leaders in those communities. Say, listen, we're putting this money into a fund, and you figure out how you're going to disperse it throughout so we could help your community come together with the police and the community. And it will help, and the players will understand that the NFL themselves, the owners, are trying to help this cause, and it's done. The players won't kneel anymore.
What do you think the shot of that is happening?
I don't see why it shouldn't. If the NFL is really serious about ending this, okay, they're worried about their brand, here's how you end it. It's very simple. It's common sense. Okay, there's a reason why the players are doing it. They don't know where they're going to end. They don't know how to stop it. And neither does the NFL. Well, I'm just telling you how to stop it. It's very simple. Donate money into those 32 cities. Am I making sense or not?
You make sense to me. I just, because of the political affiliations of so many owners, based on what they've come out and said about the protests, I don't know how
you think how Dallas feasible will be left it out? Is.
Jerry Jones.
No, I'm telling you, man, it's a very easy solution.
Do you think the NFL has a committee for this type of thing? I mean, community, they definitely focus on community outreach.
They're gonna meet, okay? They're going to meet. They were supposed to meet yesterday. I don't know if they called that off or not, but it's very simple. Come to the table with that proposal, players, and see what the owners will do.
I think that idea is fantastic.
It's very, dude.
A genius logic. Over there on the mic.
Dude. Like I said, I would kneel. I would not kneel this weekend because it's Veterans Day weekend, but only because of the confusion, not because I don't still believe in the movement. but it's easy to resolve it. It's called Put the Money in the Communities of the Cities with the Teams. 32 of them. Boom. Problem resolved. All right. We're going to step away. We'll get George Cole on the flip side. Hopefully I made sense, and maybe most of you don't think I'm making sense, but whatever.
Now back to Game On. Seat Williams.
Somebody messed with the clock. The third hand is off now. I'm going to say it's 3:33 in the Valley as we move along here on this Veterans Day weekend, bringing in a good friend of ours, Flip the Show. He's at the bottom of the hour on this one from Aliante, Cannery North, George Cole. George, brother, how are you?
What's up, Seth? How you doing today?
Feeling great. Feeling great, man. It's Friday. You know what? I love it. I'm going to work every holiday now for the rest of my career because nobody else is in the building. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I mean, you know, nowadays it seems like in for the sports there is no more holidays. We got a a full slate on Thanksgiving, a full slate of NFL football on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day we even have two NFL games, and then I think it's five NBA games this year.
Yes. Hey, we're going to start you off here with we got three games tonight in college football. I know the last one we'll spend some time on. The second one is as important, but you got Temple and Cincinnati to start with.
Yeah, it looks like I was just kind of checking out because, tonight's one of those nights we got a lot to talk about with basketball starting and everything. It looks like in the Temple-Cincinnati game, Temple had opened a 2.5-point favorite. That's now at 3. Money coming in on both sides, pretty evenly bet money-wise. It looks like the public's high on the parlays on Temple. The total in that game has jumped up a point. It's up to 48.5 from 47.5. The Stanford-Washington game should be another good game. Washington now is -7. They had opened at 6.5 as well. It's -7 even. Looks like the majority of the money is coming in on Washington right now. I think that probably happened at 6.5. We're seeing if we can get a little bit back on Stanford at the +7. Heavy ticket count on Washington. Total's 49. That's jumped up 4.5 points as it opened at 44.5. And then finally, yeah, we'll see if UNLV can take it to BYU tonight.
Yeah, BYU, by the way they've played this year, an underdog. This thing went out at 4.5. Is it down to 1 now?
We're sitting at a 1 right now, yes, sir. It looks like I'm clicking on it right now. They took them at +4, back +3, +2.5, so it dropped drastically.
Wow.
Although, you know what, we do actually have some UNLV money at -4 as well, so it just looks like the it's slowed down right now on the betting UNLV.
And the Rebels, if they win this game tonight, then they have to split on the road either at New Mexico or Reno the last two games to end up at 6-6 where they could be bowl eligible. So, very key game tonight. They lose, then they are sweating. They have to sweep the final two games. George, I kind of threw you a curve there. You want to go back to the rest of the college football or up top where we were going to start tonight with college football?
College basketball. College football. I'm ready to go either way. Then we'll come back to the hardwood.
Okay.
But after football.
All right. Big key games. I mean, you got several of them. I'll let you jump on the big games because you have number one, number two. And then you got Miami, Notre Dame. You got so many teams like TCU and Oklahoma that are going to be knocked out with a loss this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of football. Like I said, I think all eyes are going to be on that that 5 o'clock game that you mentioned, the Notre Dame Miami. Notre Dame had opened 3. We're now sitting at 3.5. Looks like the total on that game 57.5. That is at 59 right now. We're pretty heavily ticket count on Notre Dame. Looks like we are taking a little bit of sharp money on Miami. I'm sure +3.5. My guess would be Scooch is going to leave it there a little bit today, allow some Miami money to come in because I would imagine come tomorrow the public will pour in on Notre Dame.
You know, the Oklahoma-TCU game, Oklahoma is about, 6.5, 7? I kind of see that total at low, around 62.5. I figured it'd be up around 70.
Yeah. We're actually at 62 right now. Let's see where the side stayed at 7. We're actually -7 even. Looks like the Sharps jumped on TCU at the plus seven. A little bit of, you know, a few more tickets on Oklahoma. But the total, you know, believe it or not, it doesn't look like we've got a whole lot of interest on the total in that game yet.
Number two, Alabama. Mississippi State, I believe they're number 16. Bama, what, about a two-touchdown favorite in that one? 51 the total?
Let me slip down, man. I'll tell you what, the boards are so full today, it takes me a minute to get around. Alabama's minus 13.5. They had opened 14.5. I think we probably opened a little high just to get a little Mississippi State money in the beginning. But, yeah, we're about a 5-1 ticket count on Alabama. Total in that game is up a point from 51 up to 52.
George, slide down about 4 or 5 games. Georgia, number one in the country against Auburn. This right here is going to be the real test for the Bulldogs. If they can beat Auburn.
On the road.
Hey, I mean, if listen, I don't care if they win this ball game. And they don't lose, and then Bama beats them by I don't care how many. I think they might still be in.
Yeah, it's just going to come to, you know, I mean, everybody's going to fight for, you know, SEC having two teams in. They'll probably throw a fit over that. But like I said, I mean, it seems to be over the last few years, everything that we're worrying about at this time of the year seems to work itself out when it comes to the BCS championship, or well, now they call it the championship game. So right now, Georgia is minus 2. They had actually opened up 2.5. The total's 48.5. That's up from 47. Looks like we're a real high ticket count on Georgia, and the majority of the sharps that came in and bet the straight bets bet Auburn at plus 2.5.
A key game right here, right above that, is Iowa-Wisconsin.
Iowa-Wisconsin, yeah, I thought you were going to come back to that.
Yeah, now, here's the thing. The Badgers, unbeaten, and this team, if they beat Iowa and they continue to win and they win the Big Ten championship, why should they not be in?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like I said, I think we've talked about this for the past few weeks. It's hard to, you know, look at your kids in the beginning of the year at a school like Wisconsin and say, hey, if you guys go undefeated this year, you're not going to make it. You know, that's a tough thing to say.
And the numbers on that one?
Right now, Wisconsin is minus 12. Let's see where that one had opened up. They're 186. They had opened 12.5, and the total on that game right now is 45, and that dropped a point from 46.
You might have a couple of more up your sleeve you might want to get to here, George?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, again, boy, it just seems like a couple of these, you know, I would have thought that, you know, you drop down to, it's a 12:30 game, but a little bit farther down the board. I think we would have thought Florida State and Clemson would have been one of those games which might have decided who's going to make it into the championship. And that kind of is going to turn out to be a dud. Clemson opened at 17. They're now a 16-point favorite at Florida State, with Florida State dropping out this year.
Ah, the CFL championship, the semis coming up here this weekend. You got four teams in there. You know me, I've looked at them at the book, but I haven't really played on them this year, so I passed on the Bombers and all the other teams involved here. I'll let you run it for us.
Yeah, let me see if we're taking much action on this yet. It looks like they're both games are on Sunday. The Red Blacks, they opened 1.5. They're actually at 2. We've got a few bets on the Red Blacks. It looks like they did come in a little bit on the Eskimos and Blue Bombers game. Eskimos opened at 1.5. That's pushed up to 3. But as you can see, now with college football, NFL, in college basketball, NBA in full swing, you know, we're not taking too much action on the CFL.
Both
right
those
now.
Games will be on the deuce, by the way, come Sunday. The Rough Riders, Red Blacks, at total 51.5, and then the Eskimos, that's a 10 o'clock start, by the way. And then the Eskimos Blue Bombers, that is 55.5, and you mentioned one with the Eskimos. So both will be on TV if you're watching that.
I believe the second game, I believe, is on ESPN News.
Okay. 1:30, they'll kick that one off.
Yes, sir, 1:30.
All right, you want to go NFL here?
Yeah, let's go back up top on the NFL board and see what we got. Looks like the Vikings-Redskins. Vikings had opened 2.5. That's dropped down to 1.5. The Redskins and Kirk Cousins are getting a little bit more respect. The money on that game is pretty even in ticket count, pretty even. We're a little bit high on money on the Vikings, but almost a dead even ticket count. Packers-Bears opened at 5, are now minus 5.5. I don't think you would have guessed that in the beginning of the year by any means. Money kind of both ways, but actually ticket count a little bit high on the Bears. Then we got the Steelers-Colts. Steelers had opened at 10.5. That's down to 10. Heavy ticket count on the Steelers. Chargers at the Jags, that's 4.5. It stayed right where it is. Almost even money, almost even ticket count on that game. Jets minus 2.5 at the Bucks. That jumped a point. Looks like taking a little bit of sharp money on the Bucks, but the public's coming in pretty heavy on the ticket count on the Jets. We got the Bengals-Titans. Titans are 4.5. That's dropped from 6. Sharps all over the Bengals. Again, ticket count a little bit high on the Titans. On the parlay bets, Saints are minus 3. That jumped from 2.5. Looks like pretty even money, a little bit high on the tickets on the Saints. We got the Browns-Lions. Lions are 10.5. That's dropped down from 12. All the bets coming in on the Lions. The Sharps are heavily backing the Browns on that game. Sharps continually back the Browns week in and week out. Mm. Texans-Rams. Rams, that opened at 11. That jumped to 11.5. That's one of those rare situations. Usually when we get up in the double digits, the spread moves the other way. We're taking a little bit of sharp money on the Texans, but a landslide of tickets on the Rams. Rams are starting to get a little bit of the public backing now week in and week out. Falcons are minus 3 over the Cowboys. We took some pretty heavy tickets on the Cowboys, but money's just about dead even in that game. Giants, we're going to, you know, I guess I've been saying this week in and week out, we're going to need the 49ers. Giants had actually opened a one-point dog. That's flipped. They're now minus 3 favorite. All the money coming in on the Giants. Patriots-Broncos. Patriots are minus 7.5 after opening at 8. Heavy, heavy ticket count on the Patriots, but some sharp money coming in on the Broncos.
Yeah, in that ball game, the Patriots at Denver, Tom Brady's like 3-7 up there at Mile High. He struggles there. That should be a pretty fun game to watch. And the Rams, look out for the Rams. The other thing last night, that ball game did come in under. Richard Sherman with the Achilles heel tear, he's gone for the year. The Cardinals, on the other hand, many players going down. It's boy, every time you watch a game now, you're watching 3-4 players carted off the field now, George.
It's, you know what? I mean, they're just – they're so much bigger, so much faster, and so much stronger that, you know, I think little things like, you know, tendons and, you know, ACL tears and all that, you know, they haven't gotten as strong as the rest of the bodies have, is the only thing I can think of. Because we're seeing all these weird non-contact injuries all the time, and I don't know, maybe it's just now that social media and the internet, you just get news so fast, so quick, but I just don't remember as I was growing up, you know, seeing these type of injuries day in and day out.
Yeah, so many. I don't know if guys are stretching well enough. And then you look at NFL players now. Guys don't wear knee pads anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
why?
All your specialty guys barely wear pads at all.
Receiver, yeah.
You know.
That's weird.
So.
All right, let's take it to the hardwood, the slab. You want to move back? We've got, what, about 20 games in college basketball. There's some I know you have circled at the public, and maybe the Sharps are playing.
Yeah, and we got actually, you know, a couple good ones on TV right now. You know, two ranked teams, Texas A&M, are taking on West Virginia. West Virginia had opened minus 6. Let me take a look real quick and see where that had closed. We closed at minus 7 on that game. A little bit of money. It's almost like, you know, I think we talked about this with college football a few months back. I think tonight kind of creeped up on everybody and no one really realizes how many college basketball games are being played today, but there's a tons of ranked teams. You got Duke, UNC, Kentucky, Miami's playing, Michigan State, Wichita, Kansas, but we're not taking a ton of action on the games yet. I think the Sharps are kind of just playing a little wait and see, but I'm even looking. I mean, it looks like they took a couple shots at us on a couple of our totals we put out, but I'm not really seeing too much volume on the basketball yet.
Yeah, I'm quite sure the public's sniffing around to see what teams look like. You're right, that West Virginia A&M game is on. They just went to a break. We'll get an update scoring when we get a chance. Then you got the G Knights back on the ice again tonight, and a couple of other hockey games you're going to give us.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, the Golden Knights have kind of come back to earth a little bit. I mean, part of it, you know, again, like I think I read a stat yesterday or heard something on the radio that they were talking about when the New York Islanders were an expansion team, that it took them 3 years until they used four different goalies. And here the Las Vegas Knights, within the first 2 months, have already used four different goalies. So they kind of got hampered there. But we've already had it. You know, we had an early game this morning, Senators-Avalanche. But starting at four, we got the Hurricanes and Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets minus 145. That's dropped a nickel. Penguins minus 120. Caps even. That game actually flipped. The Caps had opened minus 125. Got the Bruins Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs opened 150. That's down to 140. Sabres are a minus 115. That's down from 120. Hosting the Panthers. The Stars are a minus 130. Hosting the Islanders. And then Winnipeg had opened minus 130 here in Vegas. That's dropped down to minus 125. Take back on the Golden Knights plus 105.
George, let the folks know about the app.
As always, you can download our free mobile app at BeConnectedSports.com. You can see all that we have to offer. It's like having the odds boards up to the second right in the palm of your hand. You can see that, you know, we've got World Cup qualifiers on right now. We've got some tennis matches, all kinds of futures, all kinds of different prop bets, you know, too much to squeeze in a 15-minute segment on the radio every weekend. So, you know, take a look on your phone, see what we have to offer. Come on into one of our racing sports books here at Boyd Gaming. Open your account or place the bet that you'd like.
And I know Thursday nights, our good friend Steph McKenzie rocks the house out there with Thursday Night Football, huh?
Yes, sir. Mondays and Thursdays, she's out here rocking it. So, yeah, we got great, you know, hot dogs, wings, street tacos, and a real, real nice place to watch the ball games.
Always a pleasure, George. You have a good Veterans Day weekend, my friend.
Hey, you too.
All right, George Cole, Aliante Kennery North getting it on with us here.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
.352 in the Valley, final go-around brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. What's that update? 31-25, West Virginia over Texas A&M with 4:20 left in the first half. All right, Rebels, tomorrow night, Florida A&M. Their second game is on Wednesday. Keep in mind, the building is closed now. We'll reopen on Monday. So if you win these tickets, you, in fact, can pick these tickets up Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday before 5 o'clock for that game when the Rebels take on Prairie View. Get a chance to see Brandon McCoy, the big 7-footer from UNLV. And it starts tomorrow night. It really matters from that point on. So keep that in mind as well. Football games last night was kind of rough. I mean, when you're watching Russell Wilson run for his life all night, man, there isn't a quarterback in the league that has to run for his life as much as Russell Wilson has been doing and is doing right now. How he's not been injured, I'm happy, but it makes you wonder how he's staying healthy with no help. No help at all. It's unbelievable. All right, caller number 30, 702-365-9200. You got the Rebel tickets Wednesday night. They play Prairie View. Caller number 30, 702-365-9200. And I'll wrap it up for this edition. Happy Veterans Day weekend for George Cole. For my man Marcus Laverne, I am Seat Williams. Remember, folks, Chin's Tuck Logo, it's a pie. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show Monday, NBC Sports Radio.